picture of being blessed is going around in life and connecting with various people in various different places at various times, at various things and places in life, and having them look at you and say, you're blessed. The Lord has truly blessed you. That's what most people would think that being blessed is. Goes on and says, when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. So I just want to contrast these two different ideas of what it means to be blessed and favored. The first is simply being blessed and favored on a human level. There are people that they come to Christ and they come to Christ and they see their life got better. So they automatically think that God is in existence to make my life better. And by doing so, people are going to recognize that God is with me. He gave me a better job. He gave me the perfect wife. He gave me the perfect husband. I've got wonderful kids. I've got, you know, whatever. Da, 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 da. You just label it any way that you like. And we think that being blessed as a follower of Jesus is about making this world better for me. In contrast, when heaven looks at you, when heaven looks at me, that kind of blessing, that kind of favor has a much different look. Because people go all the way through life. Went to a memorial service yesterday of someone who after leaving the army and his career as a captain in the army, went and started a children's home in El Salvador. His name's Sam. How many of you know him? A few of you know him. Most of you don't know him. In heaven's account, he was blessed and highly favored. Because there's a kingdom principle that if you're new to following Jesus, get this early, you're much better off. If you're a longtime follower in Jesus and you still haven't gotten this, get it. And it's simply this. That the highest form of blessing is when God gives something through us rather than to us. The highest form of blessing is when God gives something through us rather than to us. You may have been healed physically, and that's great, but that's temporary. You may have just gotten a job with a great promotion. That's wonderful. I'll celebrate that with you, but that's temporary. You may have gotten married to the most wonderful, precious, awesome, beautiful, handsome, whatever it looks, spouse in the world. And that's temporary. And our blessings that we long for oftentimes are shaped because ultimately we just want the world to look at us and go, man, you're blessed. Man, you're favored. And so we look to this God of the universe to go, yes, I want to make sure that you are blessed and highly favored in the sight of your neighbors and coworkers and children and parents. And that's not the highest form of blessing. In fact, I think that where we've come in Christianity, where we've gotten to this point now, that we've basically said to a generation or two, just come to God to get what you want. And they came to God and either got what they want or didn't, and it just wasn't good enough. Because God ultimately, just as he entered into Mary's life, he desires to walk into every person's life who will open themselves up to him and say yes to him. And he wants to bless you with something higher, not because he's giving it to you, but he's giving it through you. And oh boy, I tell you, that is the essence of what it really means to ignite change. And I believe that for some of you, the Lord wants to reignite this idea that he wants to do not just something for you, but he wants to do something through you. And when that happens, you find that, boy, you hold on to it so much longer. I mean, in my time of ministry that I've been following the Lord's giving buildings and he's given automobiles, but there is nothing like being able to see someone who is living for themselves, trying to just make it come into the kingdom of light and say yes to Jesus. There's nothing like it. I can remember every time I've been able to see someone who has said yes to Jesus and be water baptized, blessed beyond belief. Blessed beyond belief. Every time someone says, I want more than just the name of Jesus, I want all of the Spirit, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in other tongues. I remember those, unlike what I got 2 years ago for Christmas. Because the Lord gave himself through me, and the world changed. It may not have been the whole world like Mary. There's only one Mary in heaven, right? But you know what? Each of us have this world that we're in. Family, friends, neighbors, whatever it might be. And the Lord is saying, if you want to truly be favored and truly be blessed in the heavenly realm, not where things, not where moths are going to destroy it, robs are going to be able to steal it, any of that stuff, then you want to make sure that you are receiving not from me for yourself, but from me so I might give through you. And that ultimately is the essence of what Christmas really is all about anyway. But because of our culture, I'm telling you, we lose it. We lose that scope. We lose the understanding of what it's truly about. Now, here I want to talk about something that we're going to go through and look at Mary a little bit, because I asked you earlier, I said, have you ever gotten a gift from God that you wanted to return? And, you know, our quick answer is no, but I'm going to tell you that when God begins to say, I want to give something through you, it's much different than when you're just saying, God, I want you to give me something. Because our measurement of God there is just how good was the thing that he gave me. But when you say, God, I don't want you just to give me something. I want you to give something through me. It has eternal consequences. It has eternal impact. It doesn't go away with the next model. It keeps going and going and going. So let's just look at a couple things, starting in verse 29. You have that same chapter. You see that it says that when now Mary's interacting with this angel, it says, confused and disturbed. Now that just doesn't fit the American gospel, because we just got to have it all figured out. But the moment that this angel comes to Mary and says, I want to do something through you, she finds herself confused and disturbed. So Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. So here's the first thing that you can come to expect, because I don't think Mary expect this. I don't think any of us ever expect this. But when the call comes, when the Lord comes and says, this is what I'm going to do, you can expect some confusion. You can expect to go, me? I mean, really? Me? Because when you look in yourself in the mirror, the reason we work so hard of making everybody else look at us and think that we're blessed and highly favored is because when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we see ourselves for the sinful, unholy, discolored creation that we are. But Jesus, in his greatness, he came and he shed his blood so that we can be perfect before him. Now, how does someone who looks at themselves in the mirror and sees really still how far short they really are try to figure out how a perfect, holy, perfect God is going to use them to give a gift? You're confused. And there are some people, they just never get past that confusion. They just never get past this reality that this perfect God who knows how to do things way better than you and I would first and foremost choose us, but then even the manner of which he gets it done is oftentimes a bit confusing. For Mary, it was confusing. Well, I have not even been with a man. Oh, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. I've never led anybody to Jesus. My Spirit will come upon you. I've never had the opportunity to water baptize someone. It's all right. Holy Spirit will come upon you. I've never laid my hands on the sick and seen them recover. That's okay. Holy Spirit will come upon you. See, the voice of the Lord begins to move us through the kind of confusion that can come. Chapter 2 and verse 1 says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that the census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census that was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All return to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. Now, notice, first of all, what it doesn't say. All right? It doesn't say that they rejected the governing authority. It didn't say they were Republican, Democrat, or independent. It didn't say they agreed or disagreed with what was going on. In fact, from Mary and Joseph's standpoint, you know, we don't know if Mary was a little grouchy during her pregnancy. If you've ever been with, you know that kind of can happen along the way, right? And so Joseph comes to Mary and says, we got to go to Bethlehem. Because here's what we don't think. This is where the gift goes back. Because we don't expect hardship. We basically say with the Lord that, Lord, if this is you, if you're doing this, and this is what people think, the door will be opened and I'll just be able to walk right through. There'll be no problems. Because if I'm blessed or highly favored, there's not going to be hardship along the way. Okay, listen. When the hardship comes, then the American gospel just says you don't have enough faith and so you give up. You return, listen to me, you return the gift that God wants to give through you. Because you can't handle the hardship. Because you've come to believe that if God is in it, well, if God was in this, he would have at least moved on Augustus to not have the census so Mary and Joseph would not have had to have left their residence. I mean, you know, crying out loud, when Clarissa was pregnant with our kids, man, I went to the grocery store by myself. He had to go a lot further than the grocery store. I remember when the Lord said to me, I'm calling you to full-time ministry vocation. We're all called to ministry, but he called me to full-time ministry vocation. And I went, yes, God's in this. And one of the worst experiences of my life happened. It's horrible. I'm not going to go into the story. But what I found is that oftentimes when the Lord calls us and says, it says, I don't want to just give you stuff. I want to give stuff through you. Then something seems to happen that just is horrible, that makes you want to quit and give up and forget about it and move on. I don't know how many times I have sat with a couple before they're getting married and I'm going through premarital counseling and they say, well, God has blessed this because he has brought me this woman. And listen, 3 years later, they're in my office and the devil got a hold of her. Come on, you know this is true. You're too chicken to amen, but hardships come. God's not confused. We're confused about how to handle the hardships when they come. And so what Mary and Joseph did, while it was hard, they went with it. Somehow, they had to decide that even though it didn't seem right that God would tell Augustus to call this census at this time in their life. I mean, why couldn't the Holy Spirit waited another year? I mean, we look back and understand. They didn't look and understand. But they went along with it. They believed that God would, even in that, work. Verse 4 and 5 says, "And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child." Now, when they traveled back in the day, they didn't have Texas Rangers, not talking baseball team, talking police force, right? So they often traveled in big groups because traveling was very dangerous. And here Mary is pregnant, having to undergo a trip that was quite dangerous. And so I think the thing for us to understand is that when we say yes to God, and I don't just want something for me, I want you to give a gift through me, I think we can expect some protection along the way. I love my favorite chapter in the Bible is Psalm 91. I love it. The psalmist is saying, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. When you say yes to God, when you say, God, I will open myself up and I'll allow your spirit to build something inside of me that will change someone's world, then it doesn't matter what is happening in your life, where God takes you, what challenges you find in. If you feel like death is this close to you, let me tell you something. This close, this gap in between where it's at and you, if it's filled with God, it ain't anywhere near you. Because it has come up to an immovable force and it will protect you. But when we think that God is just going to give us something, then we're really worried about something coming and taking it away. But when we know that God is giving us something to give to someone around us, then it's not ours to protect, it's His to protect. Verse 6, it says, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. Now, I love the New Living Translations for this next sentence, just in itself. She wrapped him in snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in the manger because there was no lodging available for them. They get to Bethlehem and they didn't really know what to do because there was no room in the inn. But God, in His greatness, He gave them provision. And let me tell you something. When you say, God, I will open myself up so that you can give something through me, I guarantee you, He will give you provision. We say it this way in any kind of modern day leadership, it's basically that, and I had asked the worship team to come, so that vision is always followed by provision. Vision is always followed by provision. Now, if your only vision is the provision, let me tell you something, all you're saying is, God, give me. But when you start with the vision, when God speaks to you and He says, I'm going to use you to change someone's life. I'm going to use you to have someone fully commit or recommit their life back to me. He's going to make sure that you have what you need. Now, you may look around at your ministry, whatever God has you doing, and you're going, well, this is just ugly. But really, when God provides, He's interested in a manger. You would think that, at least in Joseph and Mary's mind, there wasn't the Roman lottery back then. But probably they were thinking, how could this be that God would only provide this when He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He's the Messiah. He's the chosen one. He's the one who's going to deliver Israel from all of her enemies. Certainly the Lord would have had him at least dream about the winning numbers so he could be born in a palace. When we're looking for what God will do for us, that's the way we think. When we understand that God wants to do something through us, then we're really grateful for every bit of provision that He brings along the way. Here's the cool thing. So the baby's born, and you have the story of the shepherds. And I want to read as the shepherds came and had the experience there at the manger. But in verse 18, it says, all who heard the shepherd's story, were astonished. But then look at what it says. It says, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And this is what's so beautiful about when we say, God, I just don't want a gift from you. I want you to give a gift through me. The essence of igniting change, the essence of when we say we're going to ignite change in hundreds, who are going to ignite change in thousands, that's because one person said, God, I want you to give gifts through me. And they changed someone else. And then someone else was changed. Nothing thrills my heart more than when I get to disciple someone and I get to see that it wasn't just a matter of them of walking away and letting go of old sin and grabbing on to the new things of life. But when they grab on to the new things of life and they say, now let me give it to somebody else. That's what really fills my heart. And I think this is what's going on in these words of Mary, that whenever you say, yes, God, you can give gifts through me, ultimately you can expect everything to be worth it all. That you'll look back and go, it doesn't matter that I went through a hardship. It doesn't matter that I didn't know how we were going to get there. Doesn't matter that I was confused. Doesn't matter with all this stuff. But ultimately, now that I see the result, that just even while Jesus was in this infant state, people were talking about him. And when you put Jesus out there, people aren't going to be talking about you. They're going to be talking about him. And when they talk about him and you see that people are going, I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to say yes to God. Then joy starts overflowing in your heart. And you say, you know what? I got to open myself up again because I don't want something from God. I want to give something to others that he's done through me. I love the fact that this is, by the way, being expressed at Bethel. From one person that walked up to me today and said, hey, yeah, I've had people come by, didn't even know what I was going through, and they brought things over to my house and they prayed and they were just expressing Jesus in so many ways to 2 weeks ago. A couple of our ladies went to talk to a young lady that checked off being water baptized, and they started talking, find out she was gonna be moving, and they said to her, well, is there anything we can pray with you about? And she had what she believed to be blood clots underneath her arm. And they said, well, let's pray. And they prayed. And by the end of service, those blood clots were down to one. And by the next day, the one was gone. Because there were people who said, God, I want you to give gifts through me, not just to me. God's so good, he's going to give them to you. It just kind of is a byproduct, just happens. But it starts with a heart that stands before God, the one who said, I will die for you, and say, now I've opened myself up. And it's not about what you give me, but what you can give through me. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I know that you desire to challenge us this holiday season, not just this holiday season, but every day in your kingdom, to say yes to you and to allow you to work through us. And if you're here this morning and you've never had the Lord work through you, maybe you're here this morning and you've never had the Lord work through you because you've never said to him, would you come and work in me first? And he's saying to you this morning, let me in. I'll work in you. I'll forgive you. And you may still look at the mirror and see your imperfections and see where all the places you messed up, but I will have already taken care of it. And I'll lead you on a path that will allow my spirit to work through you. But he never forces himself on anyone. And he's not forcing himself on you this morning, but he's saying, will you open yourself up to me? If you'll do that, you just need to say, Jesus, come in. Work in my life. Make me and then use me. Make me and then use me. Forgive me for all of my wrongs. That's what he does. He forgives us. In fact, if you're here this morning and, and you've never really said to the Lord, now, Lord, I want you to work through me. I believe the Lord is going to give you some visions of what he wants to do this morning. I believe that he's gonna challenge you in areas that you've not been challenged before. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time, and Christianity is nothing more than sin management and making it through life to get to heaven. And God is calling you to something so much greater, so much greater. And just say, Lord, forgive me for not opening myself up earlier, but I open myself up to you this morning. Now, hear me, church, and everybody can look up at me. This isn't a message that you just take and go. I believe the Holy Spirit really wants to do some things in some hearts. And so I'd ask the worship team to come. And we're going to go back and we're going to sing one of the songs. And it was, as we sang it, maybe you didn't view it the way you're going to view it now. But when you stand before the Lord and say, here I am. When you say those words, you're saying, whatever you want, Lord. However you want to use me. However you want to change me. Whatever you want to do through me. In me, here I am. I believe it's going to be during that time the Holy Spirit's going to start speaking to some of you. And when he speaks to you, make a note of it. And then start walking towards it. Know that you're going to be, maybe you might be confused when you leave here. You might run into some hardship. You might go, how is this all going to be taken care of? But God, if we step with him along the way, we'll make sure that it's taken care of.